Best in Class with JoeBucksFan.com draft guru Sean Sullivan is back today with the wide receivers and tight ends breakdown. Everybody you need to know entering the 2024 NFL draft in those positions. All the fun. Bill Curry Ford is delivering it. Thank you, Bill Curry Ford, a mile north of Raymond James Stadium on the east side. Bill Curry Ford.com. Curry is the family name. 60 plus years in Tampa. And the new dealership is revitalized. It's like nothing you'll see in Tampa. Get over there. Bill Curry Ford. BillCurryFord.com. Here's Sean.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to Best in Class with Sean Sullivan, coming to you live from Bill Curry Ford Studios in Tampa. We are doing wide receivers today. We will stay in our 30 minutes or less category for your drive home. Looking forward to going over the wide receivers for you. This is an amazing wide receiver class. There's probably going to be 6 to 7 selected in the first round. Of course, that would be an NFL record if that happens. This is a quarterback wide receiver draft. Can you imagine? These are going to drive some really great players down in the first round, and we'll talk about that in some later podcasts. But first, please visit BillCurryFord.com. See all of our amazing specials for our March Madness going into April. The Giant is now open. You will now see the most luxurious Ford store, or the largest of its kind in the United States. It is something to see. Tampa, you deserve it. We are on the map. We have Ford Corporate coming down constantly from Michigan to see our facility. We have the largest service drive in the world. It's 67 cars deep. Buy online from home, which is pretty amazing. And with that online purchase or in-store purchase, you will get free mobile service to your home. And that goes for not just oil changes, tire rotations, but for recalls. Or we can do what's called a loaner car, where you come in and we give you a loaner car, which will help you in that situation. And that's by appointment only. Online reservations are super important when you're doing this type of routine maintenance. We have over 16 service advisors to serve you. Pretty crazy stuff. The level of customer service and guest experience is amazing. I look forward to you guys experiencing it. Please follow us at Bill Curry Ford Tampa, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. All right, let's jump right in. So my number one receiver is not going to be a surprise. It's Marvin Harrison Jr. out of Ohio State. 6'4", 205, 449, 40 time. He had 67 receptions for 1,200 yards and 14 touchdowns last year. Listen, with his combination of size, he's bigger than his dad, and speed and the way he can run routes, it's unbelievable. He runs routes definitely like a smaller receiver than he is, but he's 6'4". 6'3", most likely. I really feel like he is an instant tier one starter from day one on any team that gets him. Right now, he's linked to the Arizona Cardinals. We'll see how that goes. But he's a true number one draft pick, has the pedigree, has all of the production in college. He's going to be very similar to a guy that I talked about before on many of my podcasts. And a guy I was very high on was Andre Johnson, who went to Houston, if you guys don't remember. He was a guy that was just an instant starter from day one. He's a Calvin Johnson type. He's going to be a difference maker. Really, I feel like he's completely separated from the other quarterbacks. This is very similar to how I feel about Caleb Williams in the quarterback class. There's Marvin Harrison, and then there's everyone else. And I know they're trying to make Malik Nabers. We're going to talk about him. Or Ondunze, we're going to talk about him. They're trying to make these guys move up the ladder. Listen. There's one guy. There's always been one guy at the top of this class. As people get bored and talk more about stuff, they obviously push people up the board or slide them down. I have no idea based on what. Nothing's changed. Marvin Harrison hasn't dropped a ball or caught a ball in several months. So I would like to know why on earth people would question him. He is the obvious first choice. A game to watch for him. So the Penn State game this year, he had 11 catches for 162 yards, 11 catch and a TD. If you guys want to see, don't just watch highlights. Watch game film. Watch the Penn State game. Penn State has two starting corners that are going to be NFL drafted, and a safety and a pass rusher. And we'll go over pass rushers, but Penn State has one that's been linked to the Bucs several times, and we'll go over that. But my point being about Penn State, they're no pushover. He dominated them from start to finish. So we'll see how that goes. Like, listen, no comparison to Marvin Harrison Jr. Instant starter, day one. Now, the only thing that I could tell you about Marvin Harrison that if you're watching him that you're not going to be impressed by, it's going to be yards after catch. And basically, I get that. I understand why that's a criticism. The problem is he runs perfect routes and catches the ball in the end zone and catches the ball. I mean, what are you really going to do? There's guys that catch the ball up the field, and there's guys that catch the ball down the field or where they're supposed to, and that's what Marvin Harrison does. So, listen, I can critique his game. I'm looking at it. I don't see a flaw in it. I don't care that he's not number one in yak. Don't care. He is the best receiver in the draft, bar none. Can't wait to see him play on Sundays. Congratulations, Marvin Harrison Jr. You will be the top wide receiver off the board. My next wide receiver is a guy that's been pushed up the board and pushed up the board, and for good reason, but not he shouldn't be in the Marvin Harrison conversation. That's LSU wide receiver Malik Nabers. Here's a guy with good size and had amazing quickness, if you guys saw him. You know, he's a 4.4 guy. And if you think about it, he's 6 foot, 195, really lanky. He has like really long arms, really long legs, and he looks like a natural born receiver. He had 89 catches for 1,500 yards and 14 touchdowns. I think his route running is very, very good. It's not in the Marvin Harrison Jr. conversation, but it's probably second best in the entire draft. He is a 50-50 ball guy, meaning like Mike Evans. If the ball goes up in the air, Malik Nabers is going to come down with it. He's going to battle the – he's very physical. He's going to battle the defensive back for that. And he just looks so smooth. Like, one of those things, like, when he's running, it doesn't even look like he's running. It just looks like – I don't know how to describe it. It just looks like water, you know, like running out of a glass. It just – it can't be any smoother when he's running. And he could play inside, outside. He could play slot. I mean, he could play all the positions. The top game to watch with Malik Nabers, Mississippi State this past year. Mississippi State, again, a very, very good football team, physical football team. Nabers had 13 catches, 239 yards, 13 yards a catch, and 2 touchdowns. So this would be a great game to watch if you really want to see where he goes. But I think Malik Nabers is in the conversation with the Giants. So if depending on who trades up, I mean, obviously when people trade up, the draft all changes. But you have 3 teams that could use a wide receiver in that area. And I don't know if the Jets are one. I don't know if the Jets, because they have Mike Williams and they have Garrett Wilson, who obviously is a superstar, again, out of Ohio State. But Malik Nabers might fall into the Giants. The Giants really need a number one wide receiver. Malik Nabers gives them that from day one. And by the way, after the catch, Malik Nabers is a beast. Right, so you can throw him a short slant or you can play him in the slot, show him a short pass, and he will be physical and he will break it up the field and get those hard yards after the catch. So, again, it's possible the Giants pick him up. It's possible the Jets. I really feel like the Jets are going to. They really should go for Brock Bowers, and we'll talk about tight ends in the same podcast because we're doing wide receivers and a couple of tight ends. It's not really a tight end class, but we'll go over a couple. But again, number 2 is Malik Nabers. Number 3. Is absolutely one of my favorite players in the entire draft, and this Romeo Dunze, wide receiver out of Washington, 6'3", 201 pounds. He ran a 4.49, a 4.45, so we'll see where his speed is. He's got plenty of speed for what he's doing. He had 87 catches, 1,640 yards, and 13 touchdowns. The guy is clutch, catches everything that goes near him. I really feel like if I had to compare him to a wide receiver, DJ Moore plays for the Chicago Bears. This guy's bigger than DJ Moore, but he plays with a very physical, like the way he goes up and gets the ball, the way he's very physical, like a Steve Smith from Carolina, but again, bigger, but plays with that same physical skill. I love that. You know, the only knock on Nduze is they're talking about his speed not being a factor, but let me just tell you something. He's fast enough. You want to know why I know? Because he's open on almost every play. Even against that Michigan team who has a defense that was number one in college football, has a lot of NFL players coming off of it. And Dunze was open over and over. And when I say open, I mean open by 5 to 10 yards. He is a specialist. He's going to be a star from day one. Can you imagine the Chicago Bears drafting Caleb Williams, number one? He's my number one guy. They get Caleb Williams, and then they come back and get Dunze to pair with him. So you would have DJ Moore, Dunze, Caleb Williams, and then the other wide receiver they got from the San Diego Chargers, slipping my mind. I want to say Keaton McCardell. I know that sounds crazy. He's a Buccaneer. But let me just tell you, with that combination, the Chicago offense comes alive, and that's just going to be nuts. What a team. Or they're going to go defense, we'll see. But again, my number 3 wide receiver, Dunze, who was obviously Penix's favorite target, out of Washington. Washington has another wide receiver that we'll talk about later that I think Jason Light needs to be looking at for later in the draft. I think he's a really complete wide receiver, but we'll go over that. But my first 3 guys, so if you go Marvin Harrison Jr., Malik Nabers, and Dunze, they're going in the top 10 picks in this draft. If you think about it, there might be 4 quarterbacks going in the top 10 and 3 wide receivers going in the top 10. That's just insane. And you throw in tackle Joe Alt, you know, for another offensive player. There's not a defensive player that might go in the top 10. Very, 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 very strange. And I'm going to tell you my 4th guy. might surprise some people, but I'm going with Brian Thomas Jr. at LSU. 6'4", 205. He ran a 4.33 40. People are talking about him as possibly being the best wide receiver in the draft. He's getting a lot of hype. He had 68 catches for 1,177 yards. I get all of that. I'm not a fan of his route running. I think he's very, very raw. I understand the comparisons to several other wide receivers in the NFL, but this guy absolutely has the hands. He can get open. He's got speed. He does not use his size very well. Like, he's 6'4", 205. When you watch him on tape, he's definitely more of a finesse player than he is like a big, strong, like DK Metcalf guy who's going to out-physical you. He needs to learn how to use his size better. He has those laps and drops thing from Jaden Daniels. He has those times where he's wide open and the ball just hits him in the hands and he drops it. That stuff drives me insane. It drives me insane. But big playability, big guy, has a lot to learn. I really think that he's a mismatch for a lot of defensive backs in the NFL just with his size. We'll see how it comes out, but he is the fourth best receiver. He will be a first-round draft pick. That is for sure. The game I want you to watch is the Florida game. He single-handedly just beat up Florida. Six catches, 150, six yards a catch, had two touchdowns. It's just a really good game for Brian Thomas Jr. Again, he continues to get more pub, and what I'm saying is he's the same guy he was when the season ended. He has not changed. We knew he was fast, we knew he was big, and we knew that he creates a mismatch, and we knew that he needs some development, some physicality at the next level. So again, he's my number fourth guy. He's going in the first round. My fifth overall guy is Adonai Mitchell out of Texas, right? 6'4", 190. He ran a 4.34 at the combine. Now, I know that's straight line speed, but man, is that impressive. 55 catches, 845 yards, and 11 touchdowns. The thing I like about this guy, he's a big play guy. He's unbelievable at yards after the catch as well, which is why I really liked him. He was a top guy out of Georgia, recruit, transferred to Texas. I know that he has some medical conditions, like that might drop him in the draft. I have him as the fifth overall wide receiver because I'm not looking at medicals. I'm not looking at whether the guy is a nice guy or whether how he is off the field. I don't really care. If he's Mishon or how he acts off the field or if he's T.O., I'm only talking about his physical traits as a wide receiver. He's the fifth best wide receiver in this draft. If you watch him, he's a big play guy, and he's a lot faster than he plays on the field. So I think you're going to really see that. His size, he looks like a basketball player out there, but he runs like a gazelle. So, again, between him and Brian Thomas Jr., they're just very similar players as far as the size and the speed. So I think that Mitchell has a little bit better hands than Brian does, but we'll see. If you want to watch a game that's really good, watch him in the Kansas game. He had 10 catches for 141 yards. So he was 10 yards a catch, which was really impressive. And he scored a touchdown. But watch his physicality. Watch him explode after he catches the ball. I've seen some of these NFL guys, these NFL scouts say that he lacks explosion. I don't know what they're looking at. Sometimes I feel like the scouts need to be drug tested. I don't know what they're looking at, or are they paid to say something, does an agent pay them to like push their other clients? Because anybody that watches Adonai Mitchell knows for a fact that he has explosiveness. He might not have the side-to-side foot speed that they're talking about, but when he catches the ball, he's off, and he's physical, and he can break tackles, and he can get down the field. And again, he had 11 touchdowns, so he's a red zone target, but he's my number five overall guy. Number six is a guy that's not getting a lot of pub because of his 40 time. I don't really care. Again, I don't need him to be a track star, but Keon Coleman out of Florida State, 6'4", 215. He ran a 4.51, a 4.55. They're saying, well, if he had run a sub 4.5, he'd be in the conversation. Listen, he better be in your conversation, right? I don't understand what scouts are looking at. If Keon Coleman is not a first-round draft pick, wide receiver, then I don't know who is. This guy had 50 catches for 658 yards and 11 touchdowns. Again, red zone target. Gigantic guy. Excellent ball skills. Let me just tell you something. If you're going to use the combine against him for 40, he had the best shuttle of any wide receiver in the draft. This guy can change directions in a second. He has the best hands in the draft, bar none. He catches everything. I mean, Marvin Harrison Jr. again does that same stuff too. And Adunze, yes. Keelan Coleman, the reason why I'm saying he has the best hands is because of the way he catches the ball. He goes up and gets those balls that a lot of guys can't get. And, you know, he played LSU, and he had 9 catches for 122 yards, and he had 3 touchdowns against LSU. And that was against an NFL first-round draft pick corner, maybe second-round draft pick. So, you know, we'll see there. But I'm telling you, Keelan Coleman is a sleeper. And I would be so impressed. Like, if the Bucs don't draft a quarterback at 26 and the pass rushers are off and they want to go wide receiver and Keelan Coleman's there, I don't blame them. By the way, Keelan Coleman came in. They interviewed him at the draft combine and they brought him in for a physical visit to one Buck. So they don't do that very often. And I know, oh, it's Sean, it's a smokescreen, it's a smokescreen. It's not always a smokescreen. Sometimes it's just to learn about the competition, and maybe they're looking for the flaws that they see on tape or the good things they see on tape, and they're scouting him to see if he comes into the NFC South. Listen, there's a lot that goes into these visits. It's not just about who you're drafting. Sometimes it's about who you don't draft. But this guy's the real deal. Watch a Syracuse game. He had 9 catches for 140 and 2 touchdowns. He dominated Syracuse. It's a really interesting game to watch. Keelan Coleman's my number 7 wide receiver. Number 6. My number 7 wide receiver, Xavier Leggett, out of South Carolina. 6'3", 227, ran a 4.39 40. He's unbelievably good after the catch. I really thought it was pretty incredible. He had 71 catches for 12.55 and 7 touchdowns. The reason why he's my number 7, and some other guys have him not even in their top 10, is his athletic score. Now, I'm big on athletic score, and I can tell you, and I can link it to success in the NFL. There are some guys that are so athletically gifted that even if they're not perfect technique guys, they can still dominate at the NFL level. In the NFL history, in the combine history, there's only been 2 players that had his athletic profile that Xavier Leggett has. And I'm talking about height, weight, and speed. And this goes to all of his athletic testing. This would be, you know, his long jump, his shuttle. This would be everything. DK Metcalf is the only modern day player that's still playing in the NFL that fits his NFL profile. DK Metcalf dropped in the first round for several reasons, including he had some questionable stuff off the field. But let me just tell you something. Nobody questions DK Metcalf's explosiveness or his athletic ability for the Seahawks. And I'm telling you right now, Xavier Leggett is one of those guys. And again, his athletic score was better than DK Metcalf. But in the last 20 years, there's the only 2 receivers that have this size, weight, and speed, which I think is incredible. This guy has an opportunity to be huge in the NFL. Don't forget his name, Xavier Leggett, out of South Carolina. Moving on to Troy Franklin, my number 8 out of Oregon. 6'3", 187. I know he's a little slim build. Ran a 4.41. I believe he's a 4.3 guy. I watched a lot of Bo Nix, obviously, you know, doing my quarterback breakdown. And I watched and I watched and I watched. Well, you can't help but notice another player when you're watching the quarterback. And you're looking at his number 1 receiver, who had 81 passes for 1,383 yards and 14 touchdowns. He is explosive. I don't care how skinny he is. You know, they said the same thing about the Heisman Trophy winner that went to the Philadelphia Eagles. They talked about him being too thin for the NFL. DeSean Jackson, they said, was too thin for the NFL. He had a really great career. Last year, I'll give you the perfect example. The Houston Texans drafted a gentleman who was 165 pounds, and he ended up being the number 1 target for C.J. Stroud last year. Vertical deep threat. A lot of the guys have Franklin going in like the 2nd or 3rd round. This guy might sneak into the 1st round. Just because he has that, comparatively speaking, I think he's more like Waddle for the Miami Dolphins, and I think people have seen that kind of comparison. This guy's a very, very underweighted wide receiver, had a very good combine, has really good hands. He's usually always wide, wide open. It's pretty crazy. If you want to see an example of that, so Washington, who was in the national championship game, Troy Franklin played Washington twice, right? Go to the October 14th game, he had 154 yards and 8 catches, 8 yards a catch for 2 touchdowns. He was sensational. Now, watch his speed. As soon as he catches the ball, he never stops stride. Bo Nix hits him in stride. He runs up and down the field like a track star, which is pretty incredible. But congratulations to Troy Franklin. Number 9, Ladd McConkey out of Georgia. Everyone's going to go, oh, you got to be kidding me, Ladd McConkey. I understand why everybody doesn't like him, because he's like this slot guy, very similar to Edelman. Was for New England. I think he's more like Cooper Kupp. 5'11", 187 pounds, ran a 4.49. He was injured most of the season, came back, caught 29 passes for 456 yards and two touchdowns. I'm telling you that this guy is very, very similar to Cooper Kupp. He catches the ball on perfect routes. He catches the ball and then has this really explosiveness once he catches the ball. And I'm not talking about top-end speed. I'm talking about he has this knack for getting open, and then after the catch, he gets obviously yak. So I really feel like he's one of those guys that's going to sneak up and catch 100 balls for a team. And people are going to go, wow, why did we have him so far down on our board? I have no idea. If you guys want to watch some really great stuff, watch him against Florida, which would be really interesting to watch his game against Florida. It was his best game of the season. I just want you to compare, just like see what I'm seeing with him. He is a guy that's going to catch a lot of balls. He has great hands. He's going to play in the slot. He's going to get you yards after catch. And then, I know, Cooper Kupp is big, right? Cooper Kupp, everybody thinks he's small. He's not, right? Cooper Kupp is over 6 foot. This is 5'11", 187. He's more like an Edelman, but he's got the route running of Kupp. So you're going to see him catch a lot of balls. And then number 10, I had to put him on here, is Xavier Worthy out of Texas with the 4.21, 6'1", 163 pounds. He had 75 receptions for 1,000 yards and 5 touchdowns. Lee DeKemper and I talked about this guy over and over and over again. Listen, he's going to go in the first round. I get it. He's extremely explosive. He's the fastest wide receiver in history, NFL history. I get all of that stuff. He's probably going to be a Miami Dolphin because this fits the Miami Dolphin mold. Can you imagine the Miami Dolphins wide receiver room adding another guy that runs a sub 4.3? That would be pretty incredible. Anyway, he fits their mold. We'll see how it goes. I'm not a big fan. The reason why I have him 10 and not up higher is because of his inconsistent hands. You know me, I'm not a guy that likes people dropping uncontested balls, and he drops a lot of uncontested balls. I don't like it. Worries me as a GM. It would worry me drafting him. Can I fix that issue? We're not talking about contested catches. We're talking about simple slants where no one's around him and he drops the ball. The Bucks had a guy like that was extremely fast. We drafted out of Tennessee named Danny Peebles back in the day. For those of you, my knowledge of Bucks draft goes all the way back to 76, guys. We had a guy that was the fastest guy in the draft. We drafted him in the second round out of Tennessee. The guy dropped every single pass when he was wide open. It never fixed. I don't know if he hears footsteps. I don't know what it is. He never made it, but man, could he run. It is what it is. But Xavier Worthy, I hope it works out for you. I hope you fix your catch problem. So top 10 receivers, right? So Marvin Harrison Jr., first-round draft pick. Malik Nabers, first-round draft pick. Odunze, first-round draft pick. Brian Thomas, first-round draft pick. Adrian Mitchell, first-round draft pick. So that's five, right? So then the rest of this, you know, could sneak into the first round. Keon Coleman, Xavier Leggett, Troy Franklin, Ladd McConkey. Or Xavier Worthy, which probably will be a first round. But any of those guys get to six, right? It would tie an NFL record. If they get to seven, they win the prize. All right, let's go sleepers. I got one at Florida, Ricky Purcell. Listen, this guy had one of the best catches you've ever seen in college football history against Hampton. I think people have seen that, but he's 6'1", 193, ran a 4.41 at the combine. He's most likely going to be a second round draft pick. He was a fourth round draft pick coming in. And has somehow, after the combine, jumped up on a lot of people's boards. He had 65 receptions for 965 yards and 4 touchdowns. I thought he had great route running. He can absolutely he has physicality. He can beat you after the catch, which I really thought was some pretty great stuff. I really think he's going to be a slot receiver in the NFL. I think he's going to be very successful. But Pearsall might go some. Let's just say he goes in the third round. He would be an absolute steal. But my number one sleeper, and when I say number one, every year I've been able to select a wide receiver that has done great things in the NFL that obviously wasn't a top 10 pick. You know, last year was Flowers for me, who went to Baltimore and had an amazing year. Prior to that, it was Jahan Dotson, who I thought when he gets a better quarterback is going to be one of the best receivers in the NFL. This year, it's Malachi Corley out of Western Kentucky. 5'10", 215 pounds, ran a 4.47. This guy is projected as a fifth-round draft pick. Let me just tell you something about this guy. 79 receptions for 984 yards and 11 touchdowns. He went to the Senior Bowl, blew the Senior Bowl away, right? And in 2023, he had 1,293 yards and 11 touchdowns. This guy is built like a running back. He's built thick through the shoulders and the body. I really feel like he's almost like a running back that plays wide receiver, except that he has this explosiveness after the catch. When I tell you, you guys have got to watch him play. Go to his highlights. Watch what he does. He gets contact after catch. He just blows right through like a bowling ball. This guy is a stud yards after catch. This guy, Malachi Corley, is going to light people up. He's going to be such a surprise to people. I don't care that he played at Western Kentucky. You cannot make up his physical stature. He is a guy that's going to shock people if he goes to the right season. Can you imagine if Corley goes to like the Kansas City Chiefs or the Rams or the 49ers, he's going to be a household name. You just watch it. Malachi Corley. As far as the tight ends are concerned, this is a short conversation. We're just going to go right through. Brock Bowers is a generational talent. Number one tight end by far. He would be my number two wide receiver behind Marvin Harrison Jr. if I'm ranking them just in who I'd want on my team. Brock Bowers is like adding a Travis Kelce to your team day one. He's not as good as Gronk, but he's in between Gronk and Kelce. And for those of you who tell me that Kelce's better than Gronk, you guys need to stop smoking drugs and watch football. Gronk is the greatest tight end blocking and receiving in NFL history. He's like having a left tackle on the field, but then he was also like having a dominant number one. And, you know, I'm not a New England fan by any stretch of the imagination, so I'm not a homer, but there's no way that Gronk can't be considered the greatest ever at his position. I'm sorry. When you look at his combination, he wasn't just a receiver. He did everything better than everyone else. Brock Bowers is one of those guys, 6'4", 230, ran a 4.55, had the ankle injury last year, still had 56 receptions for 214 yards and 6 touchdowns. He's a day one starter. I think if he's there when the New York Jets draft in that top 10, I don't know how you don't take him and add him to your roster and let Aaron Rodgers throw to Brock Bowers. Can you even imagine Mike Williams, Garrett Wilson, Brock Bowers, and Breece Hall together on that team? They shored up the offensive line for the Jets guys. That would be an incredible draft pick for the Jets. We'll see how that goes. But Brock Bowers, again, instant starter. He would be ranked number two overall if we're just going behind Marvin Harrison Jr. for my team, if I'm the GM. That's how high I have him ranked. I have him ranked over Neighbors as an individual player just because he can do so many more things for your team. Number two, Jontavian Sanders, tight end, Texas. 6'4", 243, ran a 4.69. Second or third round draft pick, had 45 receptions for 682 yards and 2 touchdowns. My problem with him is he's just a little inconsistent. I think with his size, he should be pretty physical. I thought his speed was average. His hands are average. But he is a red zone target, which I thought was interesting. He was definitely much better in the year prior than he was last year. And his blocking is intermediate. So he's not a dominant blocker like, say, Brock Bowers is. My third tight end is A.J. Barner out of Michigan, 6'5", 251. Just a solid all-around guy, right? He's just one of those guys that if you're going to draft, if Jason Light's going to draft a tight end, which I think he is, this guy could go between the 3rd and 5th round. Here's a guy that just adds depth to our team, adds another blocker, solid hands, solid around the red zone. But A.J. Barner just does all the little things that would help this team run the ball if that's what we want to do. So I think that that's pretty crazy. Now, I have a sleeper tight end, right? And when I say sleeper tight end, it's like one of those guys that I feel should be a first-round draft pick, but all the other scouts are like, oh, you know, he's definitely a 4th or 6th round pick. Sometimes I don't know what they look at, so I have to call them sleepers because I can't call them anything else because they don't go any higher. But Tanner McLaughlin out of Arizona, if you guys haven't watched this guy, it's really interesting, right? 6'5", 245, just a massive guy, right? He caught 45 passes for 528 yards and 4 touchdowns. He is so smooth on the catch. Really, really good. And then the previous year, he had 34 for 456 and 2 touchdowns. But the guy can block, and he can run, and he can catch. I'm thinking to myself, okay, check, check, check. And he played in an offense that got the ball to him. So this guy, Tanner McLaughlin out of Arizona, I don't understand why the scouts don't have him higher, but he's my number one sleeper in this draft. If the Bucs draft him, I'd be super thrilled. He definitely has the Freiermuth vibe, which is what, you know, one of the reasons why I liked Freiermuth when he came out and was drafted by the Steelers. That was just really interesting. But here's a guy that I think makes a difference as a second tight end from day one. All right, that wraps up my wide receivers and my tight end podcast. If you have any questions, please email me at bestinclass@billcurryford.com. I'd be happy to take your texts and your emails, answer them for my next podcast. Please follow us at Bill Curry Ford Tampa, Instagram and Facebook and Twitter, are now X. And please visit us at BillCurryFord.com. Set up your purchase online. Set up your service online for home delivery. Pickup and delivery and mobile service are all available by appointment at no charge to our guests. Please come and see the new Giant. Again, I want to say thank you to Joe Bucks fan. Thank you to the Curry family for allowing me to do my podcast. I can't wait for this draft. I hope you guys got a lot out of it. I'll see you guys next time for Running Backs.